Good morning, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I attend Faith Community Church in the Santa Clarita Valley. For those of you who are getting on the bus to Santa Clarita. Wonderful church family. You'll find that church on Meadow Ridge Drive, just off of Newhall Avenue, just north of the 14 freeway. Love to have you come and join us for worship on a Sunday morning. I'm here with the prayerful support of my pastors and elders. Yes, ma'am, the Browner in English. God bless you. May that encourage you. Again, friends, I do have Bibles. The brown ones are in English. The blue ones are in Spanish. Please help yourself. Don't need to ask. Just walk on up. Take a free copy of the Word of God as my gift to you. I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of Romans, chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word is Romans chapter 8. So many great truths in this passage of Scripture. So much hope for those who are actually seeking hope. So much wonderful truth in the Word of God. All of God's Word is profitable. All of God's Word is God-breathed. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation 22, all of it is the Word of Jesus Christ. For He was the author and finisher of the Christian's faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. All of the Word of God are the words of Christ because He is the author of His own Word. Don't hurt yourself. Be careful. God's Word tells us this in Romans chapter 8. And again, we have free Bibles, my friends. The brown ones are in English. The blue ones are in Spanish. Please help yourself. God's Word tells us this in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. Go ahead, sir, take one. They're free. God bless you. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Young lady, I hope that Bible blesses you. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The chapter begins with one of the most encouraging verses in all of the Word of God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the implication is obvious. While there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because God is holy. God is holy and righteous and just and good. No sin of any kind can be in His presence. And the Word of God makes it clear that all of us have sinned. There is not a perfect person among us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we have sinned, our sin separates us from God. We cannot be in the presence of God as sinners. We cannot. Because no sin can be in the presence of the perfect, holy, just, righteous, and good God. So therefore, man has a problem. Because of our sin, we stand condemned before God. Apart from Jesus Christ, every human being stands condemned before God already. Many people believe that when they die and stand before God, that they are somehow going to argue a case. They're going to argue with God and present evidence of their own perceived goodness. They're going to provide evidence of their good works. They're going to call witnesses to testify to how good they were on earth. But what many people fail to realize is that the day of judgment is not a court trial. It is a day of sentencing. The Word of God makes it clear that if we are not in Jesus Christ, if we are not saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we are not children of God. Rather, we are children of wrath. And the wrath of God abides on us. But how encouraging is the Word of God that makes it clear that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The only way that you will... Yes, they are free. The blue ones are in Spanish and the brown ones are in English. Please help yourself to a copy of God's Word. It's my gift to you. My friends, God's Word is true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But to avoid that just condemnation from God against your sin, you must be in Christ Jesus. It is not simply enough for you to believe in your head that Jesus existed. The Word of God says the demons believe and they tremble. Satan and his demons know exactly who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do. But they're not going to spend one moment in heaven with Christ simply because they know that intellectually. No, you must know Christ in an intimate way, meaning that not only must you know him personally, he must also know you personally and intimately. And that doesn't come through religion. That doesn't come through good works. That doesn't come through intellectual assent. That comes by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is of the Lord. You cannot save yourself. Only God can save you. And my friends, apart from Jesus Christ, your minds are set on the flesh. Your mind is bent on and toward sin. You love sin and you drink it up like water. You love your sin. In fact, you love your sin so much you actually hate God. Because God is the only one who can keep you from your sin. And you don't want to be separated from your sin. And that's why those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are not friends of God, are not lovers of God, are not children of God. They are merely people who are haters of God. Haters of God. God's Word continues in Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh. Now, again, Paul is writing to Christians, so you must understand what he's saying in that context. He's not writing this to everybody in the world. He's not writing this to unbelievers. He is writing this to people who have already been saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So when Paul writes and uses the word you, he is referring to Christians. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. My friends, God does not reside in temples or churches or synagogues or mosques made with human hands. God does not dwell in anything made with human hands. The Spirit of God, the temple of God, the church of God is the heart of His people. And His people are only those who have come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone. You will not find God residing in a church that denies Christ. You will not find God dwelling in a synagogue that denies Christ. You will not find God dwelling in a mosque that denies Christ. You will not find God dwelling in a kingdom hall that denies Christ. You will not find God dwelling in a Mormon temple that denies Christ. God dwells with His people. God dwells in the heart of His people. God is not confined to structures made by human hands. And my friends, unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God does not dwell in you. No matter how much of Oprah you've watched, no matter how much of TBN you have watched, no matter how many self-help books you have read, no matter how many times people want you to have your best life now or to find your purpose in life, unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God does not dwell in you. And you do not know God. Continuing verse 12. So then, brothers, again, Paul writing to Christians. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba literally means daddy. That is how personal the relationship is between God and His children, between God and Christians. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. The only people in the world who are truly children of God are those who have been adopted by God. And no child forces a parent to adopt them. No child commands the adoptive parent to love them and to take them into their home and to make them part of their family. That is entirely the work of the parent. I have three adopted members of my family, two nieces, Jalatu and Ami, who were adopted from Liberia in Africa, and Jay, who is now 8 years old, who was adopted from Uganda. They're not kind of part of our family. They're not just adopted into our family. They are family. They are every bit as much children in our family as if my sister, Sherry, gave birth to them from her womb. They're not second-class members of the family. They're not distant cousins. They are family. Jay's story is this. He was found on a dirt road in Uganda by a police officer. He was an infant, just lying in the dirt. His mother had abandoned him. No one will ever know who his mother is. He was taken by that police officer to a nearby orphanage where they took him in, they took care of him, they cleaned him up, they gave him what clothes they had, they fed him, they saw to his medical needs. And then the orphanage put his picture on the internet with his story. My sister Sherry, my brother-in-law Ian, they saw his picture They immediately fell in love with Jay. They sensed that it was of the Lord that they would go to Uganda to adopt Jay. And so they traveled the 8,000 miles, dealt for months and months and months with the terrible bureaucracy of Uganda, with the unjust injustice, with the criminal nature of parts of that government, extortion and other things that they will try to do in these adoption processes. But eventually they were able to adopt Jay. They went to Uganda. They got Jay. They brought him home. They're absolutely free, ma'am. The blue ones are Spanish and the brown are in English. They adopted Jay. Jay didn't do anything to make my family adopt him. Jay didn't force my family to do that. It was an act of love on Jay by members of my family. They brought him home. They gave him a new name. They gave him new clothes, and they gave him a new home. And the same is true for those who are found in Jesus Christ. For those who have turned from their sin and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Jay was given a new name. Those who turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ are given a new name. They are no longer wretched. They are no longer condemned. They are no longer children of wrath. They are now children of God, co-heirs with Christ. My sister and my brother-in-law gave Jay new clothes. He was no longer clothed in the older, worn-out rags of the orphanage. He was given new clothes. And the same is true for those who are found in Christ Jesus. You are given new clothes. You are no longer clothed in the filthy garments of your unrighteousness. You are now clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are covered by His righteousness. It is His imputed righteousness. It is the righteousness that is placed upon the follower of Christ that allows God to see not their sin, but to see the righteousness of His Son, and therefore grant forgiveness and eternal life to them, because they are saved not on the basis of any deeds they have done in righteousness, but based entirely on God's mercy. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His glorious resurrection. And Jay was given a new home. His home was no longer a poor orphanage in Uganda. His home was with my family. And the same is true for those who turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Your home is no longer this earth. Your future destination is no longer hell. But Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you in heaven with Him for all eternity. That is the beauty of adoption. And you can't work your way into adoption. You can't earn the right to be adopted by loving adoptive parents. That is entirely a gift from the parents. And salvation is entirely a gift from God. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. You'll never do enough good deeds to make God adopt you. You'll never be religious enough to make God adopt you. It is entirely a work of His sovereign and loving and merciful grace. And the definition of... They are free, man. Please help yourself. And the definition of grace, the definition of grace is receiving something we do not deserve. That is what grace is. Receiving something we do not deserve. Mercy is like it, but from the other direction. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. What each of us deserve for our sins against God is punishment, is His wrath, is eternity in hell, as the just punishment for our sins against God. Those are free, ma'am. The brown ones are in English, the blue ones are in Spanish. That's what we deserve. But God's mercy is not receiving what we deserve. God's grace is receiving what we don't deserve. What we don't deserve is God's love, is God's forgiveness, is eternity with Him in heaven. That's what we don't deserve. And the person who believes they deserve heaven will never see heaven. The person who believes they deserve heaven will never see heaven. Because God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace, unmerited favor, to the humble. And so if you want to be adopted by God, you need to understand that that adoption is a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not of men. It is not of men. Continuing in God's Word, Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. My friends, there is only hope in Jesus Christ. There is no hope in anyone or anything else. The Roman Catholic Church cannot give you hope. Islam cannot give you hope. Mormonism cannot give you hope. Jehovah's Witnesses cannot give you hope. Atheism certainly cannot give you hope. Hope is found only in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord. And many people say, well, I'll believe when I see. If God shows Himself to me, I'll believe. You know, the Jewish people of 2,000 years ago were much like that. They asked for a sign. Jesus is doing miracles before them. Jesus is testifying to the reality that He is God in the flesh. But yet they demand a sign. They seek a sign. And Jesus said, the only sign you will receive is the sign of Jonah. What did He mean by that? God bless you, brother. What did He mean by that? Jonah remained 3 days in the belly of the fish. And then was spewed from the fish and given life. Jesus was using that as a metaphor for what He would do. That He would die on the cross. That He would spend 3 days in the grave. And then He would miraculously rise again. The resurrection is the only evidence, is the only testimony any human being needs. Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. He is alive indeed. Thomas, often referred to as Doubting Thomas, was one who said, I will not believe unless I see. And just as he says that, Jesus appears in that room where the disciples were hiding. And he stretches out his hands and he says, Thomas, put your finger in my hands. Put your finger in my side, because that's what Thomas demanded. He said, unless I put my finger in his hands, unless I put my finger in the wound of his side, I will not believe that he is risen from the dead. And so when he saw Jesus, what did Thomas do? Did he rub his eyes and say, I must have had too much mustard on my falafel? No. He dropped to his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who have not yet seen or will not see, but believe. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. My friends, everybody on planet Earth lives by faith. The only question is the object of their faith. You, by faith, are going to get on a bus believing that the driver is not taking any kind of cold medication, got a good night's sleep, isn't texting to somebody, and you're going to get from point A to point B. You are going to do that. So you're going to have to come over here and not hide behind the bus stop there. What's that? What makes you assume I don't? Why would you be so judgmental? Sir, why would you be so judgmental? Why would you be so judgmental, sir?
Why are you so judgmental? Why is that, sir? Do you claim to be tolerant and open-minded, sir? Are you tolerant and open-minded?
Right.
Intolerant to ignorance, sir? Really? What's going to happen to you when you die?
That's ignorance, sir. That's ignorant. Yeah, because the Word of God makes it clear that only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. It doesn't matter what you believe, sir. What matters is whether or not what you believe is true. And the reality is, sir, that you do believe God. You do believe God. But you suppress the truth because of your love for sin. You love your sin more than you love God. You love yourself more than you love God. And on some level, you actually believe you are God. But, sir, you're going to one day stand before God and give an account for your life. And He's going to judge you according to the perfect moral standard of His law. And He already finds you to be a blasphemer, and it doesn't matter whether or not you shake your head. But, sir, my hope for you is not hell. As much as you hate me and hate God, my hope for you is not hell. Sir, the words coming out of your mouth reveal the condition of your heart. You're lost and you're bound for hell, and I don't want that for you. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross, Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. But Jesus also went to the cross for enemies of God like this man here. This man here who is an enemy of God. Jesus went to the cross for people like that. Jesus went to the cross for haters and blasphemers of God. Think about this, my friends. Think about this. Even if you're not religious, you probably know about Palm Sunday and Easter, okay? Palm Sunday is the day that Christians commemorate, the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem about a week before he died on the back of a humble donkey. The people laid out blankets and palm branches before him and shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed be the name of the Lord! And within a few short days, some of those very same people would be screaming something else. Crucify him! Crucify him! That's right. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he cried out to God, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus died not only for his friends, but for his enemies. But my friends, you must come to God on His terms. God does not negotiate with sinners. God commands of you this day that you repent, that you turn from your sin, that you turn from your love of sin, that you turn from your love of self, that you turn from your hatred of God, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior.
Tell them Muslims are going to
hell. I already did that, sir.
Muslims and gays. Tell them.
Sir, anyone who doesn't turn from their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ will go to hell. Yes, sir.
Includes Muslims.
Yes. Anyone who does not turn from their sin.
Say it.
Yes.
Muslims, say the word.
Sir, we've gone through this before.
No, Muslims and gays.
Sir, the Word of God says to not answer a fool in his folly.
And the baptized are going to hell too, the ones who aren't baptized.
Baptism doesn't save you, sir. Baptism doesn't save you. Let him go. Let him go. No, I will. I will.
Let's hear it.
I just did. Anyone who doesn't turn from their sin, regardless of what religion they practice.
Coward!
Sir, why are you so judgmental? Anybody that worships the false god of Islam is going to hell, yes. Now, why are you so judgmental, sir? Sir, why are you so judgmental? Sir, the hypocrisy of your unbelief is amazing. I don't want you to perish in your sin, sir. And you're going to hear the gospel every time you come to work. And I hope you'll repent and follow Christ. See, my friends, Christ died for haters of God like that. He hates God. He knows God exists. Now, who are you referring to? The God of Jehovah's Witnesses? That's a false God created by human beings. Now, the only God who can save is the only God who is alive, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And my friends, that is the good news that we are bringing to you today. We will not respond in kind. We will not revile those who revile. God has called us to love our enemies, for Jesus Christ died for his enemies. He died for the haters of God. He died for the blasphemer. He died for the adulterer. He died for the murderer at heart. He died for the blasphemer. He died for the coveter. He died for those who deny Christ. But you must come to God on His terms. You must come to God on His terms. God commands you this day to repent of all of that sin. Everything from your lying to your hatred of God and Christ. He commands you to turn from your sin and by faith and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. No one comes to the Father through Muhammad. No one comes to the Father through Joseph Smith. No one comes to the Father through Charles Taze Russell. No one comes to the Father through the Pope. No one comes to the Father through any priest. You come to the Father through Christ and Christ alone. There is only one mediator between God and man. And it is not a priest or a pope or an imam or a rabbi or a religious guru. It is Jesus Christ alone. There is salvation in no one else. And you must come to Him on His terms. For He is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And only the hater of God would not want His grace. Only the hater of God would not want His grace. This is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. The Word of God says this: What then shall we say to these things? Lord God in heaven, bring this man to his senses. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who can bring a charge? Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is hope. That is real hope. That is real hope. My friends, you will not find hope in this world. You will not find hope in religion. You will not find hope in your own perceived goodness. You will only find real, authentic, everlasting, life-giving hope in Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, my friends, contrary to what some pastors will teach, God does not promise you your best life now. If what you want is your best life now, then hell awaits you. Because it's not going to get any better than this. Hell awaits you. God does not promise you trinkets. God does not promise you perfect health. God does not promise you riches. God does not promise you wonderful relationships. God does not promise you children who obey. God does not promise you a new car. God does not promise you a big house. And the people who preach that are the only ones getting rich. What Jesus promised in this life was tribulation and persecution and sorrow. Does that mean we're without hope? Absolutely not. It is only in Christ that we can endure the tribulation and the sorrow, because our hope in Christ is a future hope. It is an eternal hope which has already been secured for us in heaven by God Almighty through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's where my confidence is. That's where my hope is. My hope isn't in my job. My hope isn't in religion. My hope isn't in a priest or a prelate or a pastor. My hope is in Christ. My hope isn't living in a beautiful place with good weather. My hope isn't in anything in the world. My hope is in Christ. I can have confidence. I can have assurance because I'm not trusting in me and the world. I am trusting in Christ and Him alone. And I know I'm going to heaven. And to some of you that may sound ignorant, but hear me out. I'm not going to heaven because of who I am. I'm going to heaven in spite of who I am. I'm not going to heaven because there is anything good in me. I'm going to heaven because the good God and my Savior Jesus Christ saved me from what I deserve, which is eternity in hell for my sins against God. I am going to heaven not on the basis of deeds I have done in righteousness, but based entirely on God's mercy, entirely on God's grace, entirely on God's love through the finished work of God Himself, Jesus Christ the Lord. And my friends, if you do not hear this message as good news, if you hear this as foolishness, it is because you love your sin more than you love God. It is because you love yourself more than you love God. And on some delusional level, whether consciously or subconsciously, you actually believe you are a God. And that is not true. God is one. There is one God in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. And God humbled Himself to take on the form of human flesh and to die, and yes, even die on the cross, so that sinners like you and me can be saved. There is hope. There is hope. But you must humble yourself before God. You must turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. And all of His promises are yes and amen. The same God who promises to judge the world in righteousness is the same God who promises to save sinners through the sacrifice of His Son. Turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live. We have three Bibles. They're in English and in Spanish. The blue ones are in Spanish. The brown ones are in English. Please accept them as a gift from us. Please accept as a gift the Word of God. We don't want anything from you. We only want what is best for you, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. Please, how many in English?
Yeah, I have a Spanish, but I want to take a
word. How many would you like? I can give you more.
Oh, no, that's okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Luis.
Luis, I'm Tony. Nice to meet you, Luis. God bless you.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. And what's your name, ma'am?
I'm Sharonda.
Sharonda, I'm Tony. You were a real encouragement to me this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the affirmation. God bless you.